we understand that when you're saved, you are a new creature in Christ. He makes all things new, and it starts on the inside with our spirit being born again. Our spirits are separated from God. Before we're saved, the moment we're saved, our spirit is made alive. It's quickened by the Spirit of God. His Spirit lives inside of us. But I don't know if you've noticed this, but since you were saved, you might have found a time or two when you struggled with sin. Anybody ever have a struggle with that? You've had thoughts that you shouldn't think, and you've had a hard time not doing things that you shouldn't do, and you've had a hard time doing things that you should do, and you say, well, I thought, you know, when you get saved, that deals with the sin, and we don't have that problem anymore. But what we've got to understand is He saves us, and we are eternally saved, but there's a process that begins with our sanctification. Somebody once said that salvation is the miracle of a moment. Sanctification is the process of a lifetime. And we know that glorification is something that's coming in the future. And so we have this righteousness that we have in Christ. We have this regeneration. We're regened. We have a renewing of our mind that has to happen day by day. And we're looking for our redemption that draws nigh, that's coming one day. And so we want to kind of break that down as we consider we're a three-part being. Our salvation is really a three-part miracle. And we want to pick up with that tonight. Titus chapter 3, if you're able, let's stand together for the reading of God's word. Titus chapter 3, beginning at verse 4. But after that, the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which He shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that being justified by His grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Let's pray together. Father, we thank You for the opportunity to come in the middle of our week and spend time with our brothers and sisters in Christ to join together as a church family. Lord, I pray that as we have sung songs to You, Lord, that we have worshiped You in spirit and in truth, and that You found that worship to be acceptable in Your sight, because we come in the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Lord, we have no merits of our own. It's only by Your grace and by Your mercy that we are here tonight. Lord, I just thank You for this time, and I pray that You would bless Your word tonight. Please use me and just help me to present Your word exactly as You'd have me to. I pray Your Holy Spirit would convict our hearts. Help us to understand our salvation that You have freely given to us through Christ a little bit better tonight. And help us to encourage our hearts and minds, and help us to be more faithful as we seek to live for You. Lord, we love You. We pray that You're blessed now, and I pray for Your help in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. As we consider tonight this three-part miracle, we have to continue to think about the fact that we are spirit. That's the pneuma, the breath, the spirit man, the inner man. We have our soul, which is our mind, our heart, our will, emotions. That's the that part of us. And then we have our body, which is pretty obvious. And so when we think about this, it's critical to understand our salvation, that we understand how those different parts of us relate to our salvation. So we tried to build up to this point last week and just kind of introduce this thought at the end of the lesson. But you think about a few of these scriptures, like 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 30. It says, but of Him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. And you think about the righteousness, the sanctification, and redemption, and we tie those verses, those words in with what we just read about the regeneration, the renewing, and this heirs according to the hope of eternal life. And so what does it mean? When we look at these verses, it shows us the work of salvation is. And be careful, because I don't want you to take this and get some bad theology from it. But we need to understand that, yes, salvation was the miracle of a moment, but God began a work when you were saved, and He is going to perform that work until the day of redemption. It's an event that happens. You're born again in a moment, but salvation begins with a new birth, but that's not the end of it. It's not the end of it. God is still working in our salvation. And please forgive me, because I want to be really careful how I say that. I don't want you to misunderstand what I'm trying to say. It's more than a one-time event. It's more than a one-time event. Because we're a three-part being, the salvation affects each one of those parts, and it affects it in a different way over different periods of time. So the new birth is the first step, but it's part of a larger process that's unfolding through the rest of our lives here on earth, and it's going to culminate, not even necessarily, I believe, when you die, but when Jesus makes all things new. When that final resurrection day happens, that's when all of this is finally going to be done. And so there's a process that goes on. Your spirit was made new instantly the moment you were saved. Now, how many of you can remember the moment you were saved? Anybody remember that moment? Most of you could say where you were. Most of you could say what was going on that day or that night. I remember the place. I remember the time. I don't remember the exact date on the calendar, but I could take you to right where I was when I was saved. I could take you to right where that happened. I probably couldn't tell you the exact words that I prayed, but I know what was in my heart that night. And I'm just saying that I remember. And in that moment, I finally let go of everything and put my faith in Christ. I was instantly born again. And those of you tonight that are here, that are saved, you can go back to that moment that you repented of your sin, you put your faith in Christ alone. In that instant, you were born again. Your spirit was born again. Now, your soul, your psuche, is being renewed daily by the Spirit of God. This is what the Scriptures refer to as the renewing of your mind. So we have that instantaneous salvation, being born again in the Spirit. We have this renewal of your mind that happens every day. And then your body will be made new eventually. So we have something that happened instantly in our spirit. We have something that's happening daily in our mind. And we have something that will happen eventually in our body. And nobody has a hard time understanding that your body hasn't been made new, right? Buddy, is that pretty evident to you? It's pretty evident that our bodies are not made new. And we can understand that our minds aren't everything that God wants them to be. Everybody okay with that? And so we get that. So first of all, let's talk just a second about regeneration. Your spirit was regenerated, or we might say regened. You remember we've said a lot of times that when we are without Christ in our sin, we have a spiritual birth defect, that our spiritual DNA is corrupted, if you will. Because of Adam's sin, that death is passed on through the bloodline of Adam. If you have an earthly father, you are born with a sin nature. Everybody with me? We've got that sin nature is in our spiritual DNA. But when you're born again, you're regened, you're regenerated, your spirit is made new. That spiritual DNA that was corrupted by sin is now made perfect by the blood of Christ. Not by works of righteousness, we just read it, Titus 3:5. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us by the washing of regeneration. Washing of regeneration. In Romans chapter 8, it has a lot to say in Romans 8, if you want to study it a little deeper, about how the relationship of our salvation and what the Spirit does inside of us. Romans 8:9 says, "But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his." And the moment you're born again, your dead spirit is made alive because the Spirit of God comes and lives inside of you. You're indwelled with the Spirit. He goes on and says in verse 16 that his Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And so we are indwelled with the Spirit. We are regenerated, reborn. It's what Jesus was talking about when he said you must be born again. We're regenerated. Buddy, with me tonight? That's that new creation that we are in Christ. When we think about Genesis, that creation, and he makes a new creation inside of us the moment we're saved. The next part is renewal. Renewal. Your soul or your psuche is being renewed by his daily work in your life. in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 16. 2 Corinthians 4:16 says, "For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day." And I want to tell you how critical this is for your Christian life. The moment you get saved, how long are you saved? It's eternal life, right? Well, when does it end? Y'all don't act like you're irritated with me. Listen, this is really important theology. Because I got a lot of friends right here in Muldrow that don't get this. They don't understand the moment they're saved forever. They don't understand that it's all what Christ did. It's not what we do. But because I have eternal life, that's absolutely true. But I still need to be renewed in my mind day by day. Because I still have a carnal mind. I still have a fleshly mind. And it needs to be renewed day by day. And if I'm going to walk in the Spirit, I've got to have my mind renewed. If I'm going to bring into subjection this fleshly body, my mind's got to be right. And this is where we fail so many times in our Christian walk. In Ephesians 4:23, he says, "And be renewed in the spirit of your mind." Be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Colossians 3:10 says, "And having put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him." And so the more you get into the Word of God, the more you learn about him, the more you grow in that knowledge, it's going to renew your mind. And we need that renewal day by day, which is why it's so vital that you study your Bible every day. And you can't just study it, in my opinion, you can't just study it once a day. I think you got to get in the Word and meditate on the Word all day, every day. How many of you start your day? Don't raise your hand. I don't want to single anybody out. But most of you, I think, start your day with a little bit of Bible reading. You have a devotion. You have your morning devotions. But be honest with me for a second. How many of you have started your day really well with good Bible study, good Bible reading, but it didn't take you very long? Like, you started in the Spirit, but it didn't take you very long when you got out of the house to get back in the flesh. Right? Some of you leave the house, you get in some of this wicked Muldrow traffic, and that you're back in the flesh. Right? Listen, I'm telling you that you can get up early. Some of you still have children at home. You can get up early. You can spend time in prayer and Bible study, and then the kids get up, and they're fussing with each other, and it just all falls apart. You don't even have to have kids at home. Some of you, it's just the other person you live with. Some of it's not even that. Maybe you make the mistake of turning on the radio and listening to the news on the way to work, and your spirit is ruined. I'm just saying that we can start out so well, but we've got to be renewed day by day, and really we've got to be renewed in the spirit of our mind moment by moment. Moment by moment. That's why the Lord calls us to meditate. To meditate. We've got to think about His Word. So we have this regeneration of our spirit, we have this renewal of our mind, and then we have the redemption of our body. Your body will one day be redeemed, and you will be given a new body. You will be given a new body in heaven one day. And oh, what a day that will be. What a day that will be. Ephesians 1:14 says, "Which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of His glory." Well, what does it mean, the redemption of the purchased possession? And it's given us this earnest. So the Spirit is given as a down payment, and that's promise of a future transaction that's going to happen. The Lord has given you His Spirit, and one day He's going to redeem you completely. You're going to be given a new body. You're going to be given a new body. It's absolutely going to happen. So He purchased you, but He didn't just purchase part of you. Jesus Christ purchased all of you, which is why we're to honor Him, not just in our spirit, but also in our mind and our body, because all of it has been redeemed by the Lord Jesus Christ. Romans 8:23 says, "And not only they, but also ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit," or to know, "the redemption of our body." And so we are saved, and we're completely saved, and we're saved forever, but we've got some things we've got to renew day by day, and we're looking for that day when he's going to fulfill all of those promises with that new body. Most Christians think of salvation as something that happens in the past. We think, I was saved on such and such date, at such and such time, at such and such place. We look at the past. And in part, that's absolutely true. You had that moment of salvation. That's true. But that's only part of it. It's a limited view, because when you were saved, you were sealed in a moment. Your new nature came to life. You were born in Jesus Christ. But that's just the first part. That's just the beginning point. And it's really important that we get that, because God wants us to have a lifelong maturing and growing and being more and more like Christ until we get that new body that's exactly like Jesus Christ. We ought to be getting more and more like Jesus day by day as we approach that redemption. In other words, He's still working on me to make me what I ought to be. You want me to sing it? Oh, nobody wants me to sing it? Okay. The great news about being in the middle of this process is it means the final part is not complete yet. And sometimes we feel frustrated with the struggle that we're in. I'm looking for somebody to amen that. Sometimes we feel frustrated with the struggle that we're in right now. But we can know one day we're going to have absolute, total, and complete fulfillment and deliverance from the struggle. So the new birth was the moment you were saved. When you put your faith in Jesus, He made you a new creature at the spirit level. It was a one-time, final, forever event. I meet a lot of people that tell me they got saved 3 or 4 times. Oh yeah, I've been saved 3 or 4 times. And they don't understand salvation, they don't understand their Bible, and they're confused, and we try to help them understand that. Listen, you can be born in the flesh once, and you can be born in the spirit once, but you can't be born in the spirit again and again and again and again. When you're born again, that's a one-time, final event. You're born into the family of God. So I want you to think about the fact that birth is a blood connection. It's irreversible. God has lovingly obligated Himself to you by making you a child of God. It's absolute. I told some of you before, but it serves a great illustration. When I was in high school, there was a kid in Florida who divorced his parents. Anybody remember that? I think I was about 14 years old at the time, and I thought that was the greatest thing in the world. It's good to know. I put that in my back pocket. I probably wouldn't even have gone to court. My parents would have been like, good, see ya. I have no idea where that kid is today, but I promise you this, if you find one of his parents and you find him and do a blood test, you're going to figure out that he's still their child. No matter what some idiot court says or what some piece of paper says, he's still their child. Nothing's going to change that. Nothing can change that. His DNA is going to prove that he belongs to those parents. And remember, when you're born again as a child of God. Your spiritual DNA has been changed, and there's no way that that could ever change. And that's not us, that's Him. Remember, He holds us in His hand and in the Father's hand. That's, we're kept by His power. That's what He's done in that new birth. In John chapter 1 and verse 12, a lot of you know John 1, 12, but as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God. Even to them that believe on His name. And when you come to God by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, you are born again, a child of God forever and ever and ever and ever. Isn't that good? No matter what you do, no matter what you say, no matter what you think, no matter what you fail to do, you are forever a child of the King. That's really, really good news. New mind. We have a new birth. We have a new mind. This is happening right now. Something that's going to happen for the rest of your life on earth. This is the renewing work of the Holy Spirit, where He is changing and transforming us from the inside out. He's conforming us not to the world, but He's conforming us to the image of His dear Son, Jesus Christ. This is not something that you can manufacture. It's not something that you can muster up of your own accord. It's not something that you can perform. It's not even really, I don't think it's even something that you can really measure. Like, how much has my mind been transformed since the day I was saved? Now, I don't know that you can measure it, but it's something that is happening. The more time you spend in the Word of God, the more time you spend seeking His face, the more you know Him, the more your mind is going to be transformed to be like Him. We yield to the Lord on a daily basis by faith. And this is a hard truth. The renewing of your mind is something that you have great power over. It's something that only God can do, but you can prevent it from happening. You can prevent your mind from being renewed. You can stay out of the Word of God. You can fill your mind with fleshly things, with worldly things, with carnal things, and not fill your mind with the Word of God, and you will prevent your mind from being transformed. Now, listen, that's really kind of a hard thing, because this is part of our salvation. The renewing of our mind is part of what happens because we're saved, but you can hinder it by what you do. We can hinder it or we can help it. In Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, you guys are familiar with this. Romans 12, 1 and 2, I beseech you, I beg you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And I want you to get that. It's all wrapped up there. We're brethren. Why? Because we've been born again by the Spirit of God. And what do we need to do? We need to give our bodies to the Lord. We need to give our lives to Him the way that we live day by day. Well, how does that happen? Well, I've got to get my mind right first. I've got to be renewed in my mind. Our Christian warfare happens in our minds. It's the tearing down of strongholds. It's casting down vain imaginations. It's bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. And friends, it's something that we struggle with day by day. And I don't know about you, but I struggle in my mind. I struggle with having the right thoughts. I struggle with doing the right thing and thinking the right thing. I struggle with allowing thoughts into my mind and not casting those things down. But that's where the battle is won. Because I promise you, if you're going to do something wrong, you're going to think about it first. And if you lose that battle in your mind, you're going to lose it in the flesh. And the same thing is true. If you're going to do something that's right, you're going to have to win that battle in your mind first. And all it is, it's not complicated. It's very simple. It's believing God's word and obeying God's word. It really is simple. Trust and obey. Trust and obey. We make it so hard sometimes. But really, it's because we think we know better. And when we think we know better, we'll find out soon enough that we don't. A new body. A new body. One day your old body will be folded up like a tent. The Bible calls it a tabernacle. And you'll put on a new body that is absolutely perfect and eternal. I got some good news for you. Right now, today, your earthly body is decaying and dying. Some of you are like, I know, I feel it. I feel it rotting right now on my bones. You try to take care of it, right? Everybody try to take care of your body, right? Sometimes. You think about it at least. I read articles about it. Eat right, exercise, take your vitamins. Some of you take your pills. All that good stuff. You try to take care of your body. You take one pill for one thing, but that messes something else up, so you got to take two pills for that. Anybody live there? Okay, just checking. No matter what you do, you can't stop it. We got a world today, I promise you, the world today, the atheistic, humanistic world that we live in today, they really feel like if they could just cure cancer, then they could stop people from dying. And I got news for them. They can't stop it. There's only one answer for death, and that's Jesus Christ. He's it. The last enemy He's going to destroy fully and finally is death, and that day's coming. But we can't reverse it. That's the curse of sin and death that is all across creation, and it affects us day by day. The very moment that you're born, you begin to die. And I know that that's not very encouraging to you. I've got an uncle who's a doctor, and he's a little bit cynical. It runs in the family. But he was talking one day, he's like, I read this, and he's always reading those medical journals and junk, and he's like, you know, they say if you get too much cholesterol, it'll kill you, too much salt, it'll kill you, too much sugar, it'll kill you, all these different things will kill you, and that's what everything's about. What are all this stuff, right? He said, let me tell you what'll kill you, being alive. Amen. Just give it long enough, and being alive will kill you. It doesn't matter. Something, somewhere, sometime is going to. I told you this was good news. I'm sorry. One day, last week we discovered that our bodies are just a sack of meat. That the actual us lives in. That's where our soul and our spirit live, is in this sack of meat. But listen, one day that decaying sack of meat is going to be gone. And the Lord is going to give you a new body. Incorruptible, undefiled. It's going to be absolutely perfect. I don't know if that's exciting to you. I look around the room, a lot of you have on glasses. You're not going to need glasses. A lot of you probably had to take some vitamin A today. That's Advil, in case you didn't know. Or vitamin A plus, that's Aleve. You got to take medicine. There's going to come a day. There's not going to be any medicine in heaven. No stents for your heart. I mean, we could go down the list. Everything that is wrong with your body right now, ever has been wrong with your body, ever will be wrong with your body, that's all going away. What a day that'll be. What a day that'll be. See perfect, hear perfect, sing perfect. A body that can never be sick, never be hurt, never be broken, and a body that will never die. Most people fear death. Most of you in this room probably don't really fear death, but if you could, you'd probably pick some ways you didn't die. Right? I got a few on my list, you know. I'm not really afraid of dying. That's just for us. It's just a step, right? It's just a step. It's a promotion. We're stepping into eternity. It's actually something that we can look forward to. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians 5 verses 1 and 2 says, "For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved," that's our body, "we have a building of God, and house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house which is from heaven." I mean, don't you have that in your heart that says, I want to get to heaven. I want that new body. I want to be with Jesus forever. That's in us. "This corruptible must put on incorruption. This mortal must put on immortality." Those things are coming one day. John, 1 John 3 and verse 2 says, "Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is." And that glorified body that Jesus had after the resurrection, when he would just appear in rooms and walk through walls and change his visage and all of those things that he did after the resurrection, we're going to have a body like that. And we get these little glimpses of what it's going to be like, and it's going to be a glorious thing to be like him. Philippians 3:21 says, "Who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able to subdue all things unto himself." So if you feel sometimes that there's something about your salvation that is incomplete, you're right. You're right. You are not working to be saved. You're absolutely God's work in progress, though. You can't be unsaved, you can't get any less saved, but you are truly undergoing a process of maturity that's going to take the rest of your life here on earth. So don't be discouraged. Be encouraged, because we're not working for that day. But we ought to live for Him because of that day. Amen. You're going to see Jesus face to face. And it makes every bit of the struggle worth it. Salvation is a one-time decision that began an everyday process that leads to a someday completion. He regenerates you instantly, renews you daily, and redeems you eventually. And please don't let that mess you up. When we say redeems you eventually, we're talking about the body. The redemption of your body is coming eventually. Regeneration is the moment of salvation. Renewal is the daily struggle of growth. Redemption is your eternal hope, that anticipation, that longing for that day, and we patiently endure day by day as we look to that day. Your eternal destination is sealed. It's absolutely certain because of Jesus. And our daily growth is up to Jesus working in us. It's up to us yielding to Him by faith, trusting that He's going to change us. And the more time we look into the Word of God, the more we're changed to be like Christ. And until we see Jesus face to face, we're caught in the in-between. This is at times precarious. It's frustrating. But thankfully, we're saved. And we're safe. Our sin was nailed to the cross of Christ. And listen to me. You never have to fear separation from God because of your sin. I can't imagine some of the parents that I read about today who literally, it seems, hate their kids, who abuse them and reject them and turn them out. You know, there were times that I really disappointed my mom and dad. There were times I made them so mad, I'm sure they probably literally wanted to kill me. I know none of you made your parents want to kill you, but I did. Brian did. Well, actually, now that I'm looking around, most of you probably made your parents want to kill you at some point. I was afraid of the punishment I might get, but I never, ever, ever once, and I'm so blessed to have parents like this, I never once was afraid my parents would disown me. They might be so disappointed, they might have some severe punishment, but I knew no matter what, they loved me. You're going to have some consequences. You and I are going to have consequences when we sin. But God's not going to throw you away. He's not going to disown you. You can't be separated from His love. But we're trapped here in this fleshly body. We struggle every day. We're not who we were. We're not who we were. Thanks to the Lord Jesus Christ. We're not yet who we will be. But we can look forward to that day every single day. Not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to His mercy, He saved us. It's what He has already done. It's what He's doing every day. And it's that longing for what He's going to do in the future. And that's what we ought to be living for moment by moment every day. Tonight, let's stand together. We want to have a verse of invitation. Next week, we're going to dig into this struggle that we have, because we know we're alive to God, but we struggle in the flesh. And we're going to dig into that next week. But tonight, just two questions. One, are you born again? Do you know that your faith is in Christ alone? Do you know without any doubt that if you died today, you'd spend eternity in heaven? If you're not absolutely sure about your eternal salvation, I plead with you to turn from your sin and turn to Christ. He loves you. He died for you, and He will save you if you'll trust in Him. If you are saved, you know you're saved, just admit the fact that you're in the struggle. Pretending like you're fine is not going to help you. Tonight, we've got to come to the place where we say, Lord, I am struggling. I need your help. And maybe there's something going on in your life right now that you need the grace of God. Just cry out to Him tonight. Ask Him to help you in the struggle, because He will. He will. Ask him to give you the grace that you need to stay in the Word of God, to be renewed in your mind. Ask him to give you the help that you need to win those battles day by day. If he's convicting your heart tonight, you come while we sing.